Welcome to the podcast. This podcast is entitled Some Thoughts on the Israel War. So why is that patch of land worth fighting over? It's like people fighting to the death over New Jersey. And New Jersey's like has good farmland and stuff. Like, I don't think there's good farmland in Israel. I don't know all the geography, but it's kind of just a desert. So I know there's, you know, symbolic reasons and religious reasons and heritage reasons and all that, but we can think past that, can't we? Like, it's still just land. There's better land. So that's the thing I've always wondered. Why don't you just move? Why are you fighting over this? But maybe I'm just, a caveman. Think about what they could do, though. They could move to the United States. We could give them a chunk of Wyoming, a chunk of Nebraska. That would be even bigger and better. Why are they there? I know why they're there, but you can still practice Judaism somewhere else. And look, I'm not saying they should leave. I'm just saying, is it worth the fight? Like, I think I would look around and be like, this is a bad neighborhood. Let's just leave. Let's just move to the suburbs, right? Just move to the suburbs in Europe. Well, Europe didn't work out for the Jews, but in the United States, maybe that's what it is. In the United States, they couldn't have their own military and defend themselves. They'd be at the whim of the U.S. government. Mm-hmm. That's maybe a good argument. But they could move, I don't know, I guess wherever they move and carve out a country, somebody's going to hate them because somebody else was there first. Anyway, that's just something I've always wondered. Maybe there's an easier way to go about this instead of fighting the Arabs forever. Also, well, not the ones that back Hamas, but we could use the Palestinians that are peaceful. They could come here too. Why are you fighting over this stupid piece of land? Just let the Jews have it and go to America. I don't know. I don't understand. One thing is, I think you can be sympathetic to the plight of the Palestinians and not be anti-Semitic. Let me explain. Because if you denounce terrorism and say none of this terrorism should be happening, that's insane, then you can also say, look, I get it. They got displaced. They're upset about it. You know, maybe they've been upset about it for too long. I think, I'm pretty sure if they went to Israel and the United States and said, look, we just want to be peaceful. We just want to be like Jordan. Or we just want to be like the United Arab Emirates. We would shower them with money. We would help them even more than we've helped them so far. So I think you can be sympathetic to their plight, but at the same time, we should be like, come on, guys. But I don't think just siding with Israel every single time or never not siding with Israel every single time makes you anti-Semitic. And I think that gets kind of, not that I necessarily support the Palestinians, but I think they throw around anti-Semitic too much. It's being drained of its meaning because I think people throw it around too much as a cudgel to make people shut up about Israel. Not that I necessarily think Israel's doing anything wrong. I mean, maybe a long time ago they did. Maybe, I don't know all about it. Maybe the settlements don't make sense. Maybe they're a little too pushy. But let's be honest, they're not doing terrorism. They're not doing completely outrageous stuff. They're just being a state. So, and it's a pretty peaceful, prosperous state. What, 20% of the people in Israel are Arab? They're not like, if that's a thing, Jewish Arabs, there's, I think, what was it, 10% Muslims, something like that. So it's not 100% Jewish there. And those people are tolerated. As far as I know, they vote. But the Israelis don't want this. They're not looking to go on a rampage. They want to live in peace and be a normal country. I'm just saying, you don't have to be 100% Israel and never see the other side to not be called an anti-Semite. That's dumb. So at some point, the Palestinians have to move on. They've been given so much humanitarian aid, and I guess they just spend it on weapons. How else do you interpret this? Why is Gaza so poor? It's being showered with money. There's small places like that that are rich. They could be. So they have to realize this isn't getting them anywhere. It's just, they're just, the people there are being exploited by Hamas. And what good is this? Let's say you do destroy Israel. Then what? Then are you going to turn into some, you know, peaceful Shangri-La? I don't think so. You have a culture of hate. You have a culture of destroying something. So you're going to have to keep destroying something. They need to just be taught by the other Arabs, hey, look, get over it. Let's make a deal with Israel. And Israel would totally do it as long as there's security guarantees. Maybe at this point, they'll never deal with anyone again because they can't trust them. But maybe they'll say, we tried it. Remember when we left Gaza and then this happened? So the whole Islamist terrorism thing is such a cancer. Like, whatever it is, whatever concoction of weird ideas, it's the cancer on this planet. There are other problems too, but it for sure is one of the big cancers. Like, imagine if the Native Americans were like the Palestinians. They have some legitimate grievances. Bad things have happened to them. Other people are on their land. Okay, there's some parallels. Think if they were constantly launching terror attacks against the United States, like even today, and they just wouldn't let it go. Like, you have to move on. Imagine if the Jews, and, you know, I know they didn't really let the Holocaust go. They, like, hunted down every Nazi they could find, right? But what if they were still trying to get back in Germany or something? Come on. It's kind of like these, frankly, race baiters, right? Like Al Sharpton, who aren't really needed anymore. They act like they ride in like they're Martin Luther King in Selma. And it's like, come on, man. Things have changed. You've outlived your usefulness. But they need to keep this thing going so they're still relevant. And so I feel like that's what the Palestinians are doing. They don't have anything else other than hating Israel. So they've just built their entire existence around destroying Israel, like that will solve all their problems. Here's another thing on the other end of this. They're saying they're going to destroy Hamas, that everyone in Hamas is going to die. And Netanyahu made this statement that people will remember it for generations. Will they? Will that really deter anyone? Are Islamists deterred? They're radicals. They're ideological radicals. So they think God's on their side. How do you deter that? Maybe you can. I don't know. Israel or Iran is, I don't know, kind of scared of Israel, a little bit at least. But, and it is true, barbarians like that only listen to force. But if you go overboard to make a point, is that going to work? Will you make your point? Or will you just scare them off like a rabid dog? I mean, I don't know if you can scare off a rabid dog, but you know what I mean, like scaring off a bear. Is that bear going to change its stripes, right? Is it really going to... Eventually when it gets hungry again, it's going to come back at you. You're not really going to deter it. So I don't know. I mean, the Taliban, have we deterred them? I think they're scared of us. They were scared of Trump. So because Trump was like a gangster with them, but they're not stopping. They're not giving up. They're not realizing, oh, you know what? Islamism's bad. Maybe we should be peaceful Muslims. They're not realizing that. So, and maybe Netanyahu doesn't want them to realize that. He just wants them to be scared of him and of Israel. I don't know. How much do the Palestinians and all Islamists say, oh, you remember what happened to those guys? I think the Taliban's saying that about the United States, but I don't think that's going to stop them from sponsoring terrorism. It might stop them from harboring terrorists in Afghanistan. Maybe they've learned their lesson. Another thing about this, is this worth a war with Iran? Let's say, I'm not saying that the Israelis shouldn't destroy Hamas and that they shouldn't deal with Gaza. But what if them doing it, if Netanyahu knew we're going to take out Hamas and it's going to cause a war with Iran and maybe an expanded war, would he still do it? Or would he be like, we can't do it. It's too big of a consequence. As much as we'd like to, it will provoke something that we will lose or that won't be worth winning if we do win. So that I wonder that. I hope Iran doesn't do something, but the presence of war makes more war likely, I feel like. When war is in the air, when think about in Russia, how many nephews and sons and uncles have been killed in that war? Once that starts happening, people don't care anymore. Hey, we're already at war. I got nothing to lose. That kind of feeling. And it makes more war more likely. And so, and the crazies in charge of Iran already want to go to war with Israel. They're crazy. So I do wonder if this is going to backfire on the Israelis. I hope it doesn't. And I'm not saying they don't have the right to do what they're doing. They shouldn't have to tolerate this anymore. But look at the beginning of World War II. You have the war in Spain just kind of rumbling around. You have the Italy taking over Ethiopia and Albania. It's just kind of in the air. And so it feels like it's in the air now. So sometimes these things just come and go. And they have for a long time. But also, we've had the Cold War, and then we've had the American moment, right? And that's kind of over, I think. I think the Ukraine war proved that we're not in charge anymore. We're probably the biggest kid on the block, but we're not in charge. Our alliance is not in charge. It didn't cripple Russia. And so it seems like they can just do whatever they want. And India didn't side with us. They want to be friends with people, with their neighbors. So, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of more like a big war is more likely than it's been for a long time. And war makes leaders short-sighted. And they make stupid decisions, especially the really bad ones. But even the good leaders, it's hard for them to be the cooler head that prevails. And we don't have good leaders right now. Let's be honest. We have a bumbling old man in the White House that maybe is mostly still there. I don't know, but he's kind of like a corrupt guy. And I don't know how he's compromised. And I don't know who's really running everything. He seems like a puppet, kind of. And he's bumbling, so that emboldens our enemies. And so I read a thing today that said they started planning that attack in Israel after they saw what happened in Afghanistan. Because Biden's a joke. This matters when you're dealing with thugs and disgusting barbarians. Having someone who is like a thug, too, matters, because they were scared of Trump, I guess. They're not scared of that guy. Who would be? Who would be scared of Biden?
I mean, they technically know he's got a big military at his disposal, but so did he has the same military Trump had. What's the difference? He's an old man who's decrepit. So our leaders are selfish and corrupt. There's some good ones. Maybe some of them are just deluded into what's right. But always remember this. They don't send their kids to war. They don't send their kids to war. Regular people like us get sent to wars. So their wars for empire, they just see us as like pieces on a board game. That's how they see us, little soldiers on an Axis and Allies board. And they justify it by saying, well, we'll take this and it'll be better for the alliance and all this. You're right, but those are our kids. And you're just going to sacrifice them so you can improve the empire. It's not necessary. Sacrifice your own kids. They won't. Or if they had to, they would think twice. Think about Eisenhower. He didn't get us involved in any stupid wars because he was a warrior. He was in charge of soldiers in real combat. All these clowns today, none of them have seen combat, and they don't seem to care. Lindsey Graham running around acting like it's a video game, acting like it's a board game. Guy's a clown. I don't want our young people getting killed anywhere. It's ridiculous what we've let them do to us. And since the Cold War's been over, too. The Cold War, at least it made a little bit of sense. There's this global chess match between the U.S. and Russia. Now? What are we doing now? This is just stupid. This is just good old-fashioned empire building. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I don't really trust our leaders. I think they're all, if they're not, they're not all corrupt, but the whole DC is corrupted. So it's like you can't go there and not get corrupted. Like Kerry Lake is like, I'm gonna go there and still fight for you. I really doubt it. I really doubt it. Look at all the Tea Party people. All turned corrupt. All of them just sucked when they got there. There's a few, I guess, like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. But even Rubio kind of turned into a squish. So, I don't know. Also, look at our society. Compare it to the society that fought World War II. Can anyone with a straight face tell me that our society is better than that society? There's a couple ways. Okay, human rights, you're right. It's better now. Tolerance, okay. What about everything else? Violence, porn, debauchery, lying, cheating, fighting, all the hate, divorce, abuse. It's worse. There's no way people in the 50s were acting like this and doing some of the things that we do. And people act like, no, it's just different. No, it's worse. Was everybody perfect back then? No. And people will say, well, it was good for white people. Oh, enough with that. You're right. We had problems. But the society was better. The people were better. Let's just admit it. And so a society like that, I don't know how it can really do a good job. First of all, just on its own, it can't function as well because everybody's liars and corrupt and they'll cheat each other. You can't have a good society that way. And metaphysically or religiously or whatever you want to say, God's not going to help those people. Whatever higher power is out there isn't going to help all the porn freaks. He doesn't like that. Of course he doesn't like that. It's obviously corrupt and bad. I mean, think about it. Imagine a higher power looking at the things that it created, and they're doing porn, and they're doing abuse, and they're lying, and they're just like bad people, versus like a nice little family in the 50s, like Leave It to Beaver. Now, there were actually families like that, and there are families like that today, but they are fewer than they used to be. That's my point. I'm not saying everything was Leave It to Beaver. But look at a family like that, and then look at, you know, a bad family, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, God's not impressed with that. And I think he's less likely to help us out because of that. Think about Breaking Bad. Oh, it's the greatest show ever. Okay. Is it a good show? Like, good, like, uplifting? Does it teach you good things? No, it doesn't. It's a good story. Or it's at least a gripping story. But it's degrading. It's degrading media. I haven't seen all of that. I watched 4 episodes of that. And I was like, this is not a good thing for me to be consuming. I wanted to watch it. I was like, dude, what's going to happen next? This is crazy. But I was like, I don't like this. This, no. So anyway, I'm not trying to say we should be holier than thou and that people that consume that are obviously horrible people. I'm saying it's a sign of what our society is like. Look at Netflix. Just look at all the shows. It's just gross. It's evil stuff. It's bad for you. And then go look at like Little House on the Prairie. Right? That's a show people watched, in the 70s? And I know there's some shows like that now. But is it the dominant show? Is it the show like most people watch? No, those shows are on the fringes. And all the adults, all the sophisticated people, watch people murdering each other and having sex with each other and doing drugs and doing horrible things to people. I don't know. That's my little soapbox about that. But I wouldn't recommend our society and its culture to anyone. It's embarrassing when people from other countries see the garbage that our culture puts out. Like I was on a bus in another country once in Asia, and they play a movie, and it was some, what's the guy's name? The guy on the mask. I can't remember his name right now. It was just filthy. It was just like, ew, this is what? This is what's coming out of America? This is gross humor. It's just stupid. I don't know. I was just ashamed. I was like, really? This is what my country makes now? Awesome. Okay, a couple more things about this. Sorry, I kind of went on a tangent there, but does trying to annihilate terrorists work? Did we annihilate Al-Qaeda? We degraded them, I think. Did we annihilate ISIS? They're still like, I don't know what, they're like under control somewhere near Turkey. They're like in prison or something. Can you annihilate them all? Can Israel kill all of Hamas? Can it make Hamas be a thing of the past? If it can, maybe it should. But is it like whack-a-mole? Or you just incite more? I don't know. It seems kind of like whack-a-mole. Like this insane ideology just won't go away. What, do you just not fight it? I don't know. I'm just saying, is the goal of annihilating them, first of all, counterproductive? Does it make more of them? And is it even possible? And maybe if those things are true, you still do it. I don't know. And maybe Gaza is different than Afghanistan because it's right next to them. So they can just occupy it and just treat it like a bad, police it like a bad neighborhood or something. I don't know. Because if you annihilate Hamas, is it really going to fix the problem if you leave again? Probably not. But then do you really want to occupy that place? I don't know. Okay, and I kind of already touched on this. If this ignites a huge war, is it worth it? Do you bring that into the calculation if you're Netanyahu? Or do you just say, this is the problem in front of us. Whatever the consequences are, we'll deal with them later. Or do you sit back and say, maybe we shouldn't do this. It would be good to do it, and we have the right to do it. But the consequences will be too disastrous, so we just can't do it. Does Israel have an alternative? Have the Palestinians proven that they can't be negotiated with? Or at least Hamas. Is Hamas the Palestinians? Do they represent the Palestinians? It kind of seems like they do, but what if those elections were corrupt? Or what if you could ban Hamas? You know, some countries ban political parties. You can't vote for Hamas. I don't know. You would think if you could negotiate with the Palestinians, then you would have by now. Because how do you negotiate with somebody who says, I want you to die? Okay, let's see what we can work out. Like, you can't work anything out with that person. What is Israel supposed to do? I don't know. Move to America. That's what you could do. And then you wouldn't have to deal with those idiots anymore. Let them have the stupid... Look, all those shrines and stuff, they've been there for a long time. Muslims owned that place for a long time. Maybe they would destroy them now, but they didn't before. I don't know. I don't know. If I was them, I'd be like, let's just move. You know? Like, people who live in the inner cities and they're like, our neighborhoods suck. Just move. You can move. People do it all the time. I don't get it. You know, maybe Israel can make some deals with Arab nations, and that will prevent the Arab nations from getting in on this. It looks like Egypt's going to stay out. I don't know if, you know, Colonel McGregor is saying Jordan might not even survive because he said there's more Palestinians than Jordanians in Jordan now. That sucks if that country falls apart. You know, these other, like Saudi Arabia isn't taking refugees. None of these countries are stepping up. So maybe Israel can make deals with these other countries. Maybe they've seen the light and realized, enough with the Palestinian thing. What is it getting us? Right? Let's just make some deals with Israel and move on. And I don't know what's happening with the whole Saudi Arabia, Iran kind of dueling alliances thing. Now that Saudi Arabia like doesn't care about us anymore, I don't know what's happening there. But for a while, there was Saudi Arabia versus Iran, and Saudi Arabia was trying to array all these allies against Iran. I don't know if that's happening anymore. I don't think they can coexist. I think they're opponents. And so maybe they realize, hey, Israel can help us against Iran, who is the bigger threat. And enough with the Palestinians and all their whining, right? Hopefully that can happen. Somebody said, I don't remember who I was watching, but they said the Israelis are really close to inking a deal with Saudi Arabia that would acknowledge Israel as a state, which would be a huge deal. And so that's why Iran pushed its proxies to start this stupid thing. So maybe the Saudis can see through that, but let's hope this doesn't metastasize into some stupid, stupid regional war or some kind of apocalyptic nuclear war. That would be nuts. All right. Thank you for listening.